My friends, there's papers and pens in the back if anyone needs just to take notes. If everyone could please mute their phones if you have one. And just one last public service announcement. Kiddush Levana, if you missed, just know that you don't have that many more days if anyone wants to do Kiddush Levana afterwards. The two festivals that I think get the least amount of attention and it's totally out of proportion are Sukkot and Pesach. Because everyone's so focused, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and there's like a lot, and of course, for good reason, and then once you hit Yom Kippur, you're ready, Ben Azmanim, and then like Sukkot doesn't really get that much attention. We actually spoke about it recently. There was an Asifa of Rabbanim, and they said, like, you know, people don't really know that much about Sukkot because they're so busy with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And with Pesach, it's really a similar dynamic because everyone's busy with Purim, and they're busy, you know, people are very excited to talk about Purim. And then after Purim, not much later, people are already, you know, moving on. And then, and Pesach, people don't really know what to do about Pesach. And it's interesting. I don't know if it's a coincidence. There's a hekesh tesvav of Sukkot to Pesach. It's an interesting thing. And both of them have mitzvahs that are done by night. Only the two of them. Man ishtana alayla azeh. The Goyim says, why are we doing mitzvahs at night? Mitzvahs are in general during the day. Because we're in the dark when it comes to Pesach. We're in the dark when it comes to Sukkot. Maybe that's part of the reason. Could be. Because people don't really know that much about it. And a person, in order to really, to get clarity, he's got to search for it. Like we have to search for the Afikoyim, and it's not like as obvious. Kadosh Baruch Hu kind of sets up a little bit of like an obstacle course. You want to know about Pesach, you're going to have to search for it. And I think that's part of what we're doing, and I believe that we came to the right place. Because Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Stark is a person who has tremendous Mesoira, the Mashkiach Shlita, and we're all looking forward to hearing to get a little bit more clarity. And I think that perhaps the reason why Pesachim starts Or La'ar Basar, Boit Kenes HaChametz La'ar Ner, it's called Or, it should be called Laila, not Or. Because if a person finds it, then all of a sudden it becomes Lichtig. And we can turn the night into light. And the way to do that is where we turn to our Rabbanim, to our Mesoira, and Rabbi Stark is a part of a chain, and often so many times says, Shamati Me Raboisai, because so much comes from his Rebbeim. We have Pesach Weiss, are we on? Pesach Weiss? And who's basically we couldn't do it? We can't do it? Oh, there's no reception down here. Okay. Anyway, so there's a bachur who just had a surgery and he couldn't be here, so we tried to hook him up live. We could call him, no? If he wants. Oh, there's no reception even for phone calls. Got it. So you can leave your phones on. A gevaldik, meyerdik. Anyway, we came to the right place, and I believe that this home is also the right place, because one of the things that the Pearlsteins, I believe, are synonymous. They're synonymous with having shaychus to Rabbonim, with Das Torah, with following. And Baruch Hashem, that's why this shir, I believe, is in a very appropriate place, that we're able to be in a home that does everything al pi their hadracha that they get. And and we feel honored to be able to have Tzvi here in the house. And Tzvi is really the reason why we're having this year, is because he really wanted it to happen. So when Tzvi wants it to happen, it happens. Anyway, I want to thank the Pearlsteins for opening their home. They should always have bracha, simcha, nachas, gizunt, atzlocha, parnosa, ala brachos beis Hashem, all the ashbav, Pesach should be chal on them and all of Klal Yisrael. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce the Mashgiach Shlita. It's a tremendous chizuk to be here. We really do this more often. It's unbelievable. And the truth is that it's very appropriate that it's in the shir is in this house. Actually, the last conversation I had with Tzvi
was that we've done Hanukkah, like the Rosh Yeshiva said, we've done Purim, but we've never discussed how to be Oved on Pesach. So I was speaking to Reb Zevi Kaufman, and we were saying, I'll do a shiur in Yerushalayim for three people, and we'll send it to Tzvi. Right? But it ended up, Baruch Hashem, evolving, and Tzvi, you should continue to spearhead things, and I'd like to thank Reb Zevi for, and whoever else was involved, and obviously Reb Yitzchak, and this house should always be an Achsanya Shel Torah. When I had the first opportunity, when I, Baruch Hashem, was zocha to dwell in my house in Yerushalayim, I went to Rav Don Segel, and I asked him for a bracha that my house should be a base vav l'talmidei chachamim. That's what I asked him. And I've been zocha to have fantastic talmidei chachamim in my house. So next trip, go to Rav Don Segel also. I'm sure it's being niskayim, but it's a schus to be here. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes, being in a base vav l'talmidei chachamim means a place that talmidei chachamim are happy to be and proud to be. That's what it means to be a base vav l'talmid chacham. And it's a very big schluss to be here. It's an honor that the Rosh Yeshiva came out here. The Rosh Yeshiva has kochos beyond my comprehension. I sort of just come in for a cameo appearance, and he's working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the Rosh Yeshiva should have tremendous koyach to continue everything he does for Klal Yisrael. Amen. And I would like to thank my father-in-law for flying me in just for this year. Actually, the truth is that America and me, it's very hard. It's a big avodah. I used to say that, you know, there's nothing in America because the coffee in Eretz Yisrael is now good. I have an espresso machine, so I have no reason to come to America. But there's a true story that happened to me, Bizyonis, this week. I was in the coffee shop on Central Avenue. I realized I always have to wear this tie. There's no eitzes. Four guys, one in a car, two from the side, and all of them, I thought they should be in yeshiva, but it was after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Anyway, I go into the coffee shop, and I said to myself, I'm going to get a real coffee. I looked, it said Americano. That looked like a plain coffee, so I didn't do it. It said caramel macchiato. So I said, I'd like to have that. It looked like a regular coffee. Okay, the lady says, fine, and she tells me how much it is. It's a fortune coffee. Okay. She starts taking out whipped cream and blenders, and I'm looking, are there any more talmidim? What did I get? Do they have a party room that I could sip this in privately? And I was sweating for 5 minutes. I was saying, why did I do this to myself? Rabbeinu Shalom, this was worse than Gehenna. But Baruch Hashem, that wasn't my drink. The lady before me ordered the fancy one, and I got a pashta coffee with a little caramel inside. But I still had the kaparis. But it's good to be here, and it's a big chizuk. It's a big chizuk to be here. And the truth is that we're here to get a central theme in how to be Oyved HaKadosh Baruch Hu over these days, over the Seder, over Pesach. And it's something that, like the Rosh Yeshiva Shlita said, is something that's not done justice. And we'll try, Mashe Kibalnu Mirabosenu, what we got from our Rabbeim, and try to understand. And it's really, we're very lucky to be in this room right now because we're really going to touch on some very important points, b'siyata d'shmaya. Let's start like this. Pesach is a beginning. Pesach's a beginning, right? It's pashut that Pesach's a beginning because it's the beginning of the story. Klal Yisrael go down to Mitzrayim, right? They're there in servitude for so many years and they come out. It's the beginning. However, it's not just the beginning for Klal Yisrael. On a macro level, on the entire nation level, on a national level, the Ramchal teaches us, based on the Arizal, that every year a person has their own Yitzias Mitzrayim. That all the things, just like Klal Yisrael, were in the Memtes Shari Tumah, were in all the Shmutz of the world. And they came out, they were boosted out of Mitzrayim, boosted out, ejected from Mitzrayim, fast, b'chipazim. Every yid on the night of the Seder, all of the lights, all of the iris and hashpots from that moment in Jewish history actually happen again. They don't happen with the same sound and light show, with the Ten Makis, and with the splitting of the Yamsuf, but all of the hashpots happen then. Every person is born anew. And this is what I'd like to talk about, how Pesach can be a new beginning for every single one of us. And it's different than any other yontif. All the other yontifs have hashvos. Shabbos actually has the biggest hashvos. right? We always talk about that Shabbos culminates with Shalosh Shudis. Rabba de Ravin. The highest level of Shabbos culminates with Shalosh Shudis. And the Ari HaKadosh explains that it's a development, right? We start Shabbos with Kabbalah Shabbos, and we get a little bit of the light. And then comes to Shachris and Musaf and Mincha by Shabbos afternoon, and then comes Shalosh Shudis, and we hit the highest levels in Avodas Hashem. And that's with every single Yontif in the entire Jewish calendar has this development that you ease in. It's like when a plane takes off, right? It accelerates. It doesn't start at full speed. There's only one Yontif that does not work with a runaway. It runs like NASA takes a shuttle up straight. There's no runaway. Pesach breaks all of the rules. The Arizal writes that what happens on Pesach is that there's no gradual process. No gradual process. Klal Yisrael are boosted into a new arena automatically as soon as the night starts of Pesach. And they need special tools. They need the matzah, they need the maror, they need the dalad koisis in order to be up there in Shamayim. But we're brought there right away. And he writes, the reason is the following. This is amazing. He writes that what happens is that the Kedusha of Pesach is so great that all of the kochos in the world, all of the tumah in the world, doesn't want us to achieve the madregas of Pesach. So we need to be boosted out. It can't be that the kochos of tumah have a chance to grab onto us. So we're ejected from this world, brought into the highest place of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And if it would be gradual, if it would start with Kabbalah Shabbos, and it would then a little bit of a davening and a suda, and then Shachris and Musaf, we wouldn't be able to achieve this. The levels of Kedusha that are happening on Pesach have to happen fast in order that they could be safe from all of the Kochos HaTumah. Because just like when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were on the Mentes Shari Tumah, they were on the rock bottom. There was so much trying to pull them down, right? It reminds me of New York City, right? So much trying to pull them down. Everywhere there were things grabbing them. And they needed to come out. Well, where'd they go? They just disappeared. That's what happens on Pesach thousands of years ago, and that's what happens every single Pesach. And the Gvuras Hashem, the Maharal explains, fascinating. It's not by coincidence that the Yontif of Pesach falls out in the spring, right? The spring is the time where things bloom, where all the trees and all the flowers come into bloom, all the fruits. It's a time of recreation. And the Maharal writes that it's a mistake to think that this is a scientific phenomena that only happens in the physical world. No, this is the lowest place that it happens. The lowest place that you can see new beginnings is on trees, is with grass turning green. But where it's really happening, l'amitai, is each person forms into a new being during this time. During the spring and befrat on the night of the Seder, which has to be b'chodesh ha'aviv, which has to be in spring, a person can tap in to literally a miracle level of growth. We're not going to see the miracles down here, and there are reasons for that. We're in Gullus. But klape a person's own avoda, the chipazon of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the quickness of everything happening, happens on Pesach night. And we know that there's a machlokus when the world was created. Right? Was it created, according to Belazar, was created on the first of Tishrei? And everybody knows that, because we are there on Rosh Hashanah, in Shul. But Rabbi Yeshua is Cholik, and he says it happens on Nisan. And the truth is, it's very complicated how to answer up these two shitas. Rabbeinu Tam gives a very difficult explanation, which almost sounds like Kabbalah. Not almost, it's Kabbalah, basically. The Gaon takes it and does things with it, and the Arizal does. He says that the world was created in Machshava, in thought, in Tishrei, but in practice in Nisan. I don't know exactly what that means, and it's a very difficult thing to explain. But what we see is that Nisan is a Rosh Hashanah. And it's not by chance, because it's a new beginning. It's a time of Ruchnias. Not just Tishrei. By the way, it's very interesting. Rabbeinu Bechai says, how do we know? Where is it Merumas that Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei. This blew my mind. Rabbeinu Bachai writes that the word Bereishis can be changed to Echad B'Tishrei. Right? The beginning starts Echad B'Tishrei. That's a blowaway. From the Rabbeinu Bachai. However, it also started in Nisan. And the truth is that what does it mean according to Rabbeinu Tam? That the actual world of practicality, the Olam HaMaisa, starts in Nisan. For our purposes, it means it's time for action. It's time for growth. Nisan is Mesugal for actions. Rosh Hashanah is Mesugal for all sorts of plans. But implementing those plans is in Nisan, is in this man of Nisan. So let's try a little bit to understand how we can tap into this newness, this new beginning, and ride with it. And if we get it, and we will get it, all of us will get it. But if we get it, we will carry it with us through the year. The Ramchal in Maimar HaChachma compares every Pesach to a person who has an axe, and he's chopping down a tree, right? Chop after chop. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu every year lets us take out an axe and lets us chop the tree. But then we have to stop, and then next year we get another bang. And eventually we'll knock down all the Kochos HaTova. Every night, every year, on the night of the Seder, we get to take another shot at the things that bring us down. And Be'ezus Hashem will tap in. So let's start like this. There's something that's really been bothering me. And it's a very basic question. And the question is the concept of questions themselves. On the night of the Seder, we seem to be question crazy. Question crazy. For example, I bring the Rambam. The Olam knows I love the Rambam. Even things that are Mefurish in the Gemara, I heard that the Brisker Rav would take out a Rambam. I'm following in his footsteps. So these are things that are in the Gemara, but the Rambam brings it down so beautifully. Perek Zion, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes, Sorech Lasoy Shinui Balayla Hazeh. You have to do things different on the night of the Seder. Kidei Sheyiru Habonim V'Yishalu V'Yomru Manishtana Alayla Hazeh. You have to get the kids to ask. Okay, very interesting. So what do? The Rambam says all sorts of interesting things. You give out candies. Hey, mom always says to wait for dessert, right? All of a sudden they're giving out candies in the beginning of the Suda. And mom also is worried about cavities. And all of a sudden it's okay to have lollipops, right? My wife is here. So first of all, welcome. And second of all, we'll let the kids have sugar candies this year. Hopefully. It's definitely going to be different than every other night, that's for sure. And the Rambam writes, they were chot from the matzahs, right? There's the makor for the afikomen. Why? To get people to ask questions. Now things get very strange. Let's say you don't have kids, right? Emo ben ishtoi sha'alaso. Your wife should ask you the manishtana, right? Now all of a sudden, last time I checked, there's no chinuch on your wife, right? Now she's got to ask the manishtana. What? A second ago, we could have given a whole drush on the importance of chinuch, of teaching children the Mesorah. Now your wife asks. Okay, it gets worse. Watch this. Emo isha, sholin zedzeh. Manishtan alayla zeh. Okay, whoever's at the Seder should ask each other. Va'afilu hayu kulon chachamim. Everybody knows the story, right? What's the question over here the Rambam's bothered by? This is beautiful. The Rambam's saying a gevaltik pshat in the Haggadah. The Rambam's saying the following thing. When do you ask a question normally? When do you ask a question? When you don't know the answer. Right? When you don't know the answer to something, you ask a question. The Rambam says, even if you're a chacham, you should ask the questions. What's going on over here? Right? I was told to ask questions, but questions with answers that I don't know the answer to. Not questions of things that I already know the answers. We've been doing this every year. And the Rambam writes that kulam chachamim, this is a new pshat. When it says, afilu kulam chacham kulam nevonim, right, yodim es ha-Torah, even if you know the Torah, you should be mesaper and yitzias mitzrayim, it's mashman the Rambam, that the chiddush over here is more than just the sipur, it's asking questions. You have to ask questions for things that you already know the answer to. This is very interesting. And then, this is the most peculiar din, hayo levadoi, you're alone, right? One of those, you got stuck in Timbuktu, and it's you and a couple matzahs, that's it. Hayo levadoi, shoyo la'atzmai manishtana halayla azeh. You should ask yourself the manishtana. What's going on over here? Right? The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to relay the message of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even to yourself. Why do you have to ask so many questions? You have to ask questions to yourself. Right? And even more than that, let's say somebody doesn't know how to ask a question, right? The She'ena Yodea Lishol. So the Rambam deals with him. Mitzvah lo'odia l'banim afilu lo shalu. Even if they don't ask, shnemar v'yigadet to levincha. Right? If they don't ask, you have no choice. Then you have to tell them without a question. Apsachla. But you see that the night is based on questions. Getting the kids to ask and saying the manishtana alone. What's going on over here? So, I think the pshat is the following. Who usually asks questions? Kids and Bali Tshuva. Those are the two types of people who ask a lot of questions. People who are starting a process ask questions. The idea of asking a question is, this is new to me. This is a beginning. Kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevoinim, kulanu yodim es haTorah. We have to get young again. We have to reevaluate our situation. We have an opportunity to start again. And a lot of times when you know something, I always love to say in yeshiva that the things that I enjoy most teaching are the famous Rambans or anything that's famous. Do you know why? It's the least read things that there are. Those Rambans, you could be medayik, you could give a whole series of shiurim on the Ramban in Parshas Bo, and no one's ever heard any part of this Ramban. Because it's so famous, everyone goes, yeah, the Ramban in Bo, about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? When something you know, you become detached from it. It's hard to get into it. It's stale. Kulanu chacham, kulanu nevoinim, we have to know how to ask questions. And the aleph beis of the Seder night is to get into things, is to be a question asker. You should know, in my life, I have to discuss things with people, and the hardest things that I have to deal with, the hardest of all of them, and there are a lot of things, there are things that have been very stressful, even though, whatever, it's been as modern, but there's a lot of heavy things that come my way, right? But you know what's the thing that I really am not interested in dealing with? People who come and sit at my makam and say, inspire me. I'm uninspired. What's going on in my head, and I hope hasn't happened to anyone here, and I'm sure it hasn't, is just, when is this guy going to leave? I don't like inspiring people. A person has to come and feel like he wants something. He wants something. He needs something. A question, something. There are sometimes that people try to set me up with chavrusas. This bacher, he's very quiet, and he needs a chavrusa with Rabbi Star. Can you do it? And I usually say, he just has to do one thing. He has to ask me. I'm not letting you broker the chavrusa. And there's a reason for this. We're all friends here. We're out of yeshiva. We can do a clinic in chinuch right now. Why not? Right? We won't put this on the website. But if somebody can't ask for something on the most basic level, it's so easy. It's just like, can I have a chavrusa? And the answer is yes. But if a person can't come and ask, they're not interested enough. It's not worth investing in such a person. And any time I've tried to invest in such people, it doesn't work. There are exceptions, and I could explain the exceptions later, but unless it's an exception, a very big exception, in general, if someone's not a shoel, if someone's not asking something, then it's not going to go. It's all about being a mavakish. And my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal, said something incredible. The Gemara in Chagiga talks about learning Kabbalah. Learning Kabbalah. The beginning of Ein Darshan talks about learning Kabbalah. And it says over there, an interesting lashon. It says, if someone asks you this question in Kabbalah, of Malamala, Malamata, if someone asks you this question, one person, you can answer. Two people, you can't answer. The Gemara is talking about regular learning Torah. It doesn't say if someone asks you, it just says you can teach this, you can teach that. But when it comes to Kabbalah, it says if someone asks you this, then you can answer him. My Rebbe was medayik something astonishing. He says, we see from this Gemara that you're not allowed to teach someone Kabbalah who doesn't ask you questions. You can't give them Chachmas Kabbalah if they're just sitting in front of you. They have to ask the right question. And he explained the reason is because if someone wants to tap into such high levels of Yiddishkeit, you have to make sure you're dealing with a mavakes. Someone who asks. Someone who's not asking, how could you give them something so personal to the Rabbono Shel? It has to be a Shela. And he says there's no din about psachlo. There's no she'ini yodei lishol in that. But it's all about asking questions. And where do we start in the Seder? Who's the founder, the one who created Yiddishkeit in the world? Who is it? None other than Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, we don't know much about him in his beginnings, in his very beginnings. We have a few midrashim that talk about what he went through. But we know he started with the following thing, a question. Mi bal habira. Wherever he would go, he says, who is the one who's the Baal HaBayis over here, right? Everybody goes and they enjoy something. They want to thank the host. Avraham, wherever he went, was saying, Mi Baal HaBira, Mi Baal HaBira, Mi Baal HaBira. Who is the one who runs this ship? Right? And eventually Hashem says, Ani Baal HaBira, I am. What are Chazal teaching us over here? They're teaching us how Yiddishkeit begins. Real, deep, bikush. Interest. Getting into things, trying to be connected emotionally. So the first part of the Seder is a person has to become a shoyel. And then the hashpos of the night make a person who was a little bit callous and a little bit detached, if they ride the wave of the night, more attached, more connected, able to ask more and carry more bikush through the rest of the year. But it needs to be a shayla. It needs to be a question. And there has to be another element of emotional attachment over here. And that's the following. Let's go back to our line in the Haggadah. Kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, right? Yoidim es ha-Tayra. Mitzvah l'saper, yitzias mitzray, right? Everybody knows the story. So now, let's try to understand this on a more basic level. Yeah. What are Chazal telling us over here? Every time you say Kriya Shema, we don't say, if you know Kriya Shema by heart, we would have a Havamina that you're Potter. Right? Even if you know Kriya Shema, you have to say Kriya Shema. Why on the night of the Seder, there's a mitzvah, V'igadet Levincha, and it's saying, even though you know this story, you have to tell the story. Everything in Judaism, we're very good at verbalizing things, right? We know a lot, and we say a lot. We say Kriya Shema in our sleep, kamat, right? And we still have to say it. What's going on over here? What's going on over here is the following, on some level, is that a lot of times we intellectually know things. This is based on a Maharal in Gurus Hashem. We intellectually know things. We're chachamim. If someone asks us a question about something, we know it. But we're not attached to it. We don't live the thing. We don't live it. It's not part of our existence. It's almost like there's a disconnect between our mind and our hearts. Our mind knows a lot, but our heart is cold and detached and callous. Afilu kulanu chachomim nevoinim yodim es ha-Torah. Buddy, you have to start living this. You have to start expressing this knowledge, making it part of who you are. We know that there's something called stories, right? A lot of intelligent stories. People tell stories over and over again, right? Sometimes you have a grandfather, grandpa's telling the same story again, right? In 1954, right? He's telling that story. Why does he tell that story? He's very intelligent. He knows everything quite well. You know why people tell stories? Because they mean something to them. You only tell stories when they mean something to you, when you're connected with that story. It's not about the information. We're Zocha at our Seder by my in-laws to have Holocaust survivors. We were Zocha to have three. Baruch Hashem, all three are well. Now only one is able to come, a Grandma Eva. And when they say something, it's not information. It's coming with the lave, with the heart of what they went through. And that's the way we have to see this story, is that it's our story. It's not something that's for books. It's an experience we went through. Chayiv Adam, the Mishnah says, Lirois is atzmo ki'ilu yatza. Right? We're supposed to see ourselves as if we left. Now, unfortunately, these lines, even though they're Mishnayos, have become like bumper stickers that we just quote them without any meaning. What does that mean? I'm supposed to see myself as I left. I didn't leave. I did not, right? I'm not so imaginative like that, right? Even if the Bala Seder puts on a paro hat and there are frogs jumping with like wind-up toy frogs, it's just not doing it for me. I didn't go through this. And the answer is, that's a grave error. We're not asking you to imagine something that didn't happen. You did go through this. We are part of this legacy of Jewish history. We're part of this whole wave. It didn't happen all that long ago, and we're seeing the end right in front of us. Right in front of us. Why in the Seder do we focus so much on the future? Right? In Halach Ma'anya, which is the beginning of the Seder, we say, now we're here, and L'shana Haba Yerushalayim. Right? Stay focused. Stay focused. We're starting the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why are we talking already about what's going to happen in the future? And in the bracha on Magid at the end, right? We say in the bracha, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the Geula Shleima. Right? Usually when you have a bracha on something, it stays focused. All of a sudden we're talking about being Zaycha, to coming back to Yerushalayim and seeing the Beis HaMikdash again. Stay focused. No, the answer is that look at what's happening in our lives. Look where we are. We're in a situation right now where the world has reached moral decay that we haven't seen since Mitzrayim. Since Mitzrayim. I'm not going to be mafar to you, but if you look in Shulchan Aruch about what's considered Maisei Mitzrayim, the things that are usher to do because Mitzrayim did them, they are the things that are in schools today. I was speaking to somebody who told me that he does bar mitzvah lessons for public school children. And they sit down children now in public schools. This is like communist Russia now. They sit them down and they say, are you comfortable with being a boy? A little child, 12-year-old boy. Because you know that with a little bit of this and a little bit of that, we can get you to be whatever you want to be today. Right? It's like mamish. It's the lowest levels of rebellion against the creation of Hashem that we're experiencing today. We're in Mitzrayim. And this is our story. Everything that's happening over here is part of one big history that we're part of. V'hisha Amda, which is my favorite part, my favorite song. Now with the newer one, it got me more into it. The earlier one, V'hisha Amda, didn't do it for me. But the newer one, I think it's Yonatan Rozal, that really changed my Seder because it captured, we've talked about this, when music can really capture the words. It's amazing. What's going on at the Seder? We're saying, look what happened to the Mitzrim. This did happen again, and people were destroyed for trying to mess with us. It will happen in the future. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. Chayim Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki Liyatz Mitzrayim. It's our Nisayan. We're in the Memtesh Shari Toma. We're exposed to the worst of the worst. And Hashem is putting a shield around us, and Hashem is preparing us for something that's very big. And perhaps this is pshat. And when it says in the Haggadah, Kol ha-marbil l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, hareze mishubach. What does this mean? Kol ha-marbil l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, it's mishubach. It's always nice to say more about Hashem and taking us out of Mitzrayim. What's the chiddush? I think it's a huge chiddush. In general, we have a halacha called Baal Toseif. You're not allowed to add to mitzvahs, right? Imagine a guy saying Kriya Shema and he's enjoying himself so much that he throws in three more parshias, right? He's a crazy person, right? He's doing something that's terribly wrong. What does it mean, Kol Amarva L'Saper Mitzius Mitzrayim HaRezim Meshubach? Perhaps the pshat is that the site of this mitzvah is to get connected. So over here, when a person can't stop talking about what's happening over here, when it's coming to Higia Zman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, Ki choylas avani, ma ahavti Torah secha, kol hayoim hisichasi. David HaMelech says, I love your Torah, it's always my conversation piece. Hey, did you hear this? Did you hear this Kaddish from the Netziv? Did you hear this from Chaim? Did you hear this Rashba? Did you hear this from Sadek? When a person is connected, they can't stop telling the same story over and over and over again, and with such detail. Because it's not about getting over the information. It's about experiencing it. And I know somebody who had a chavrusa with Rav Volba. I wasn't planning on saying this story, but I have a kabbalah from Rav Dan Segel that whenever a story pops up in your head during a shir, you say it. It's for better or for worse. But this time it's pretty harmless. I know a Rav who had a chavrusa with Rav Volba. And Rav Volba would tell him, sometimes he would sit him down and he'd say the same thing over and over again to him. 1 week he would come, right? And it was hard for him to get to this chavrusa. He had to travel from a faraway place. He'd sit down with Rav Volba, and Rav Volba would say the same Rav Yerucham over to him. And over and over. And he realized that the Mashgiach was testing him to see if he's a pneumistic person. To see if he's somebody who knows how to sink deeper and deeper into something. Get more attached to something and not see things as superficial. That's the klamar b'lisaper v'yitzias Mitzrayim ha'reivzim mishubach. Because it's mishubach. It's good to be attached to this story. And all of us have our issues that we go through. All of us have various challenges and our gullus and our possible ge'ulas. And it's real. The night of the Seder is really for each one of our goluses and each one of our possible gilulas. It's for somebody who's suffering from nisyanus in Shmir Seinayim, issues with the internet. That was Yitzias Mitzrayim. That was what was going on around them. And Klal Yisrael proved, and we're going to prove, we're making history. If anyone just opens up a New York Times, I don't recommend it, by the way. It's all false, what's going on over there. But if you can get real news to figure out what's going on, right? We're making history over here. It won't be long. I'm not trying to get everyone scared, but anyone with a little bit of vision could see that in 50 years from now, there won't be freedom of religion. We're coming very, very close to such a thing. I hope I'm wrong. But it's going to be a gilui that we're going to be the only ones who are holding on to Bari Olam and the beauty of his Torah, the beauty of his world, and there's a reason for all of this. There's a reason for all of this. It's all happening again. It's our story. It's our story. Every yeshiva bacher is zeicha to be roi for geula. To be a yeshiva bacher in this day and age is making history. Someone who's an erlicha yid, somebody who's koiveya itim l'teira, someone who davens and keeps the Torah and Diktuk and Halacha is a hero today. Is someone that all of Yitzias Mitzrayim would have been in his chus, and it'll happen again. Be'ezras Hashem. So we talked about two things. First of all, being a person who questions, and the second one, seeing yourself in the story. I want to talk a little bit more about this idea of Maschil Beginus U'Mesayim B'Shvach. Right? There's a very interesting way that we tell over this story. How do we tell the story? We have to start from the low point, right? It's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, how to do this. Either you start from the low point, which is either we were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, right? And then, according to the Rambam, you start with Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and then eventually we found the truth culminating with Matan Torah. That's the Rambam's route. A spiritual low and a spiritual high. Or a physical low, being in servitude, being avadim, and having a geula, being redeemed. That's the way we're mekayim maskel begnos mekayim umesayim b'shvach. And the Haggadah seems to weave both shitas in. I'd like to talk about what Chazal are doing over here. What are Chazal doing? Why are they telling us to start from the low and then get to the high? There's something very big here about getting connected emotionally. Last week I was with my Rebbetzin and we were with my parents. We needed something to do with the kids, and I came up with this great idea. We're going to see a family video of one of the simchas. Oh, the kids were really excited. I first saw that my parents chasana. I never saw that. That was rejected by my parents. Didn't want to do that because it's too many people who are not here anymore. It's too depressing. So fine, so we took out my chasna video, and I'm married for, what is it, 18 years? I don't remember ever seeing this video, so it's about time. And it starts, I don't know whose idea this was, maybe my Rebbetzin's idea, it starts with little Dovi, like when I was like two or three, you know, with fishing, holding a fish and with my famous red cap. And then it shows my wife on the other side. And I can tell you, I mean, I'm the person in the car who cries from 613 Torah Avenue. Okay? This happened already on this trip. We got this new story about Dov Dov and Avi, and I'm bawling in the car, my wife's telling me a tissue. Okay, that's me. But I was watching this whole thing and watching myself grow up and my wife grow up, and it was awesome. It was awesome. It was awesome. Because you see a development of where things got to. But we just forget the beginnings. A lot of times we forget the beginnings and we lose the joy. We lose the joy of it. And Rav Matisyahu Salomon Shlita says that this is the key to having real simcha, is to see a full process. He says that's why there are funny things that go on. For example, matzah. Matzah has a positive element to it that we were sent out and we didn't have time for the dough to rise. And also was the bread of oni. So it's got a negative side. Wine. Wine is cheres, but on the other hand, it should be red like blood, like dam. Karpas. Karpas stands for shishim parech, like shishim ribo, right? 600,000 in servitude, but you dip it like a person of aristocracy that's dipped, but it's dipped in salt water. And he says that the whole Seder is functioning on levels that seem to be contradicting each other. And he says this beautiful yisayin. He says, no, that in order to have this joy, he says that sometimes we find that Holocaust survivors, at the most happy times, like simchas, they start going off on their story in the camps. And everyone's saying, why are you putting a damper on the simcha over here? He says, it's a terrible mistake. He says they're experiencing the simcha higher than everybody else. Why? Because they're turning this wedding into a response to the Holocaust. You know what that is? Imagine seeing the Holocaust and then seeing this chasana. It's ecstasy. It's a simcha that we can't even be masik. Because when you start with the gnus, when you watch how low things were, and at the same time you see the high in front of you, you watch the chasna and you watch yourself as a little kid, knowing absolutely nothing, where you're going, what you're doing, and you see it all together, you get connected. You get connected. And this is how a person should get connected. According to the Rambam, a person should think about how lost we were. And Avraham found Hashem. Adam HaRishon made a terrible error and we needed somebody to save face. Avraham built Klal Yisrael, and then we got to Matan Torah. And in each one of our lives, we have times where we were lost. We were lost. And we can't forget those. I have a Rebbe who married into the Stipler's family. And he really made it very far. And he used to be in Bnei Akiva. Nobody knows this because he did a real number on himself. He's like full everything. He did a real number on himself. And whenever we talk, whenever there's a simcha, we're very close. So he talks about Bnei Akiva. Because it's taka amazing. It's absolutely amazing. What happened over here? This is a new Bria. This is Pesach. Pesach creates new things that did not exist. You can't figure out how this tree made this fruit. Where did that come from? How did this come from? Bark. Where did this come from? And it's a different way of connecting. It's interesting. Somebody called me right before my trip. A Talmud Chacham, who I'm very close with, and we love shmoozing, and he asked me a very strange question. He says, how do I prepare for the Seder? I'm like, why are you asking me? I don't, you know, for me, it's just, you know. But I said, listen, I'm thinking about speaking about this to the Bachram, and I said, I want to talk about Maskel Begnos and Messiah B'Shvach. And he told me something fascinating. He said, you know, this is helping me a lot, because he's a Rosh Chabura in a very prominent yeshiva. And he said, I just went on from my past. Says, in fact, in Shiduchim, it didn't come up at all. When I was dating my wife, we were talking and talking, right? We decided to get married, and then all of a sudden we come to the Sheva Brachas in my old hometown community, and all they talked about was hockey. She's like, what's hockey? Right? This nice based Yaakov girls, right? What's hockey? Like, what's going on over here? And I told him, I said, listen, it's very dangerous to, you know, go into the past. But I said, I'm suggesting to you, and I'm speaking to a big Rosh Chabura, I said, take the hockey into the Seder this year. Picture yourself playing hockey at the Seder and see where you got to. See the clarity. Look what Bari Olam did for a hockey player. At the Sheva Brachos on your side, all they could talk about was hockey. And look where you are today. Look what you've done. How much incredible simcha comes from this. And that's it. The matzah reminds us of, on the one hand, starting from low and going to the high. The yayin reminds us from the low and the high. Everything brings us to all these madregas. I just want to end with a very important point. Very, very important. And I can't talk about the Seder without this point. And that is that all these ideas are great, but there has to be dikduk halacha at the Seder. Okay? Dikduk halacha at the Seder. All of these Kabbalistic ideas that we're talking about are in Shulchan Aruch. Are in Shulchan Aruch. They actually happen when you follow the laws of Shulchan Aruch. You know, it's very interesting. You ever notice there's something called Thanksgiving? You guys know what Thanksgiving is, right? We never find that Goyim sit at a Thanksgiving table and they're makbid to have a kizayas kedei achilas pras with the taroibus of the cranberries and mitzvah. Right? Why don't they do that? Right? It's very chashev, the cranberry and the stuffing, and is it nitfal to the turkey? Right? A gansashir kloli I could give on Thanksgiving. Why don't they do that? You know why? And listen to this. It's amazing. It's just symbolism. Nothing's really happening on Thanksgiving. Even though it's wonderful to be makir tov, to live in America, but nothing is really happening on Thanksgiving. Nothing. When you eat matzah, when you stay away from chametz, the whole yontif of Pesach, what happens is the following. There is a certain koach that's needed to create the new me. You know what that koach is? In general, we live in an imperfect world and we need to fluff things up. Right? Even I started with a joke about mochaccinos. What do I need to talk about mochaccinos? Because we're living in a world that people appreciate. Was it a caramel chino? I forgot the name of it. Whatever it was. But you need to open with a good joke. Right? Why? Because we're living in a world. The island appreciates a good joke. Right? I appreciate saying the joke. Hopefully you appreciate hearing it. But we need fluff. Fluff. And that's the reality we live in. And that's chametz. Chametz rises and it's all poofy and fluffy and very nice. But it's not as real as things should be when you're an embryo. When you're starting out, you need to go to something so basic. It's like those prenatal vitamins that they give women, postnatal, prenatal, all of those vitamins. Because when that child is being developed in this situation, it can't have anything that's fluffy, that's sheker, on any level. We can live with that the whole year. And we need to. We need those challahs. I never saw anyone get excited. Mom's homemade matzahs, right? And it's not because you can't get matzahs in your own house. You'd burn your house down. It's not the reason. There's no such thing as mom's homemade matzahs. I mean, people handle how good the matzah is, but it's relative to the chefza of matzah. It's not relative to a challah, right? There's a reason for that. Matzah is not supposed to taste good. Kach kibalnu. It's discussed in the Mekubalim. It's discussed in Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. It's supposed to be real. Real. Pesach is living without chametz for 7 days. It's being real and starting again. And the Dalet Kaisis, you can't sip the Dalet Kaisis. It's not a sipping party. You have to make sure you do these things to halacha because they're nutrients that follow a certain halacha. What happens with the Dalet Kosas? I'm going to tell you something. That was Makabo from Arbeim, very, very deep. And I'm applying it to explain something that was bothering me for very long. But this is something that I have not found in Svarim. The power of wine in this way. What are we doing with the Dalet Kosas? The Dalet Kosas, there are four Kosas. And I've heard the Rosh Hashiva give shir in Tanya. It's discussed at length. There are four Kosas in the world that bring a person down, called the Arba Klipas Tmeis. And there are things, like we said, in the Memtesh Shari Tuma, things are trying to bring us down. Things are trying to bring us down. Every kais of Yayin at the Seder knocks out one of these four troublemakers and brings you back to what's good in the world, which is the Shem Hashem. The Yudke Vavke has four letters, right? You can either be on Hashem's team, which is the big four, and then there are four things that try to take you away from all the letters of Hashem. And every cup of wine Starting, says the Meshech Chachma, Kiddush. What do you do on Kiddush? Kiddush, he says, you remove yourself from Arayas. You make a Kabbalah not to be stuck in the Mem Tesh Shari Toma. You're Mekadesh yourself. And each Kodesh, I can't get into the details of how each one works, but they work. And why is it wine? This is something I was Makabal from my Rebbeim, and we talk about wine, but we never talked about it in this context. Wine in Svarim is strange, because wine is called Gvura, is called Din. And that always bothered me, because wine's the thing that makes you so happy. So why is it called Din? And Dam, it's blood, it's Din. And I asked my Rebbeim this question, and I got an astonishing answer. Wine is Gvura. Gvura is Din, is power. What does wine do? Wine allows something to be pushed down so that something else can function. So let's say if you're a guy, Rahman al-Itzlan, and you don't want to live with a brain, and you don't want to live with responsibility, if you drink wine, it'll remove all of that part of your existence, it'll kick it out, it'll make a war on it, and now you could be a full-blown behemoth. That's what it does. On Purim, the tzaddikim, when they drink, remove the entire physical part of themselves and they become kulo neshama. Wine is din, because what it does is it takes something and removes it from you and frees you. And it's very dangerous, because you could go in so many different ways with this. And if you don't follow the instructions of the Torah and you do this on a Friday night, you become a big loser and a big reject and have no shiduchim, as far as I'm concerned. Right? But if you do it on the night of the Seder, it doesn't say to get drunk at the night of the Seder, and it's spaced out very nicely if you have a good Seder. But each cup allows something that's bringing you down to be pushed away and out of your life and frees you to connect to Hashem. That thing that what you were stuck with in your own personal Yetzias Mitzrayim, each one of these Dalet Kaisis allows you to be part of the Am Hashem. We should all be Zeicha to connect with the questions, connect with the story, connect with the process, Maskel Beginosu Messiah Bishvach, connect with all the halachas, and have a really meaningful yontif. The Seder takes us so high, and we spend the rest of the yontif, and through Sfiras HaOmer, building it as part of our lives. Yishol B'Zorikat Zachad Kosheb. Amen. Yeah, it's even more than tired. Yeah, it's got a blast off over here. There's a certain blast off.
I don't want to touch it. I don't know. I don't want to. I feel like if I push something, it's going to erase.